We're reading from Ephesians today, and if you're looking up the Bible, it's on page 1176 of the Church Bible, and we're going to read chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of the love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks so much, Rex. Many of you will remember this. Earlier this year, Australia was visited by royalty, the Danish King Frederick and Queen Mary. Remember this? If you don't know the story, it is a real-life fairy tale, isn't it? Queen Mary, who was once married Donaldson, yeah, from Tasmania, from little old Tasmania, who bumped into this handsome young man at a bar in Sydney during the 2000 Olympics. You know the story. Little did she know that this guy she started talking to was actually the Crown Prince of Denmark. Well, of course, they fell in love, and before too long, Mary Donaldson of Tasmania became Mary Crown Princess of Denmark, now Queen of Denmark. It's an incredible transformation story. But the thing, in the process, as she kind of took on this new identity, she had to learn a whole new way to walk. Literally. She had to take walking classes. she literally took walking classes. But it was much more than just physical walking. She had to learn a whole new way of living and relating and speaking and acting. It took time. The thing was, though, the moment that she married Prince Frederick, she had a new identity. She was part of a new family, and she had to, over time, learn how to walk and live and talk in a way that matched who she was. Now, there's something like that, only on a much bigger scale, going on in the Bible's book of Ephesians that we've been looking through together. We've been thinking about this new walk for the past few weeks, especially in this back half of the letter. We've seen how the Bible uses this image of walking to talk about the whole direction of your life. What direction is your life heading in? And how are you going to get there? And the big point of this whole section of Ephesians is that being part of God's family means learning a new walk, a whole new direction to live your life in. But the first thing to see, and the thing that kind of undergirds it all, is that this is a family walk. Look, we finished off with these verses last week, and we're going to start with them this week because they're so important. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." See what this is saying? In Christ, you have entered into a new family. You have been adopted into the true, eternal, royal family. You are a dearly loved child of the King of Kings. Out of his love, Jesus has already offered up the ultimate perfect sacrifice to God for you. He has given his own life in your place on the cross to pay the price for your sin and to reconcile you to God. So you don't need to kind of anxiously try to impress God with your sacrifices. You already have Jesus's fragrant offering in your place. And so your new identity, this new you that you have been, it's totally secure. It's solid. But what this passage is saying is that this new identity will lead, it has to lead, it must lead to a new walk. A new walk, a transformed life. Over time, learning how to live in line with who you already are in Jesus. Now, it might be at this point that you know that for you, this isn't true for you, that you haven't put your trust in Jesus, you haven't asked God to forgive you and give you this new life in his family. So good that you're here. It's important to say as we read through this passage that the place for you to start, first of all, is not actually with your walking. It's with your heart. It's with your relationship to God. Do you know him as your Father who loves you? Do you know Jesus as your Lord who died for you? That's what's offered to you today. Complete forgiveness, 100% security in this new relationship with God. On the other hand, maybe you're a Christian and reading through this passage, and as we sort of read through it, you're just really aware about your own failings. And your own failure to walk this way. All the ways that you don't walk this way. It's really important as we go into this part of Ephesians that we remember everything that's come before it. What have we already seen? We're united to Jesus not because of all the good things that we do. Not because of anything in ourselves. It was all we did was hear the message of truth. This is from chapter 1. We heard the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and we believed it. That's it. We held out our empty hands of faith to receive God's gift to us. That's all. It was while we were still dead in our sins that God made us alive with Christ. And we've just sung it, haven't we? It's by grace and grace alone that we're saved. It's through faith and faith alone, and not our good works. And we never move away from that. Now, there's some pretty full-on things in this chapter that we're going to talk about today and read through. And those who are in Christ, secure in him, those who God has called, will hear them humbly and ask his help to repent and keep walking his way. But they'll do it not as fearful servants who could get kicked out at any time, but as loved children who in the security of his grace are learning to imitate their heavenly Father more and more. That's the framework for listening to this. So what does this new family walk look like? There's heaps in here that we can't go into all the details today, but there's basically three different things about this new walk that gets talked about. Paul focuses on these three things. He says, walk in love, walk in light, and lastly, walk in wisdom. So that's how we'll kind of work through the passage together. So we're learning this new walk. We've been brought into this new family. We've had this new identity. Now we've got to figure out, you know, we're learning to walk his way, imitating our Father in heaven. And what that means, firstly, is that we're learning to walk in love. God's love is self-giving love. And we've reflected on this last week. It's shown most clearly at the cross. And Paul's big point here is that if you've received this love, walk in it, show it towards the people around you. But what he does next in verse 3, what he does next is he kind of paints the picture of what this doesn't look like from verse 3. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. There's lots in here, but basically Paul's saying here that all these things, these ways of living and relating to other people, they're the opposite of God's walk of love, God's way of love. They're ways of relating to other people that are more about self-focused lust than they are about self-giving love. So sexual immorality, that's a way the Bible talks about any sexual intimacy outside of God's good design in marriage. Sex is God's idea. He made it. It's a good gift. And his design for sex is to be something a husband and wife give to each other in the security of marriage, bound together by covenant promises. But sexual immorality, that includes a whole bunch of different things. It includes pornography, includes sex outside of marriage. It includes moving in together before you're married. It includes an affair. It includes all the things that lead up to that, the sort of fostering of an inappropriate relationship. We could kind of go on. It's things that are completely normal in our world today. You see what they all do? They all turn sex into something that you take for yourself rather than a gift that you give to your spouse, which is how the Bible views sex. And God's word here for those who are in his family, who are learning to walk his way of love, is there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality among you. But it's not just sexual immorality. Did you notice that? Interesting, isn't it? Also things like greed. So your bank statement could be just as much an indication of the idolatry that's going on in your heart as your browser history might be. But it also includes how you use your words. Whether you're putting others down to lift yourself up. I think that's what's behind, you know, Paul, he talks about obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking. I think it's just sort of scoring quick points at other people's expense to lift yourself up in how you speak. And Paul says to these Christians in a culture so much like ours in these areas, so much like ours, he says to them, don't walk that way. Don't walk that way. And take this seriously. Don't let there be even a hint of these things in your life. You're walking in God's new way of love now. And lust and greed and crass talk just don't belong in this new family, in this new walk. What does belong? I think it's easy to skip over this. I think this is really interesting and surprising. What does belong in verse 4? Thanksgiving. There's a deep emptiness to our old walk, the way of this world. It's a way of living that says, I'm empty and I need to be filled up. So I'll grasp onto all these things like sex or money or other people's opinion of me. I'll grasp onto them out of fear, try and use them to try to fill up that void that's in me. But do you see how the gospel changes all of that? In Jesus, what have we learned in Ephesians? In Jesus, you have already received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You have already been brought to fullness in him, which means you can start relating to people in your life, not out of this sort of anxious, fearful grasping, but out of thankfulness. You're already full. You already have it all. You don't need to grasp at things in this world. Out of thankfulness that leads to love. So you can start to see people in your life as gifts from a loving God to be honored and received with thanksgiving, to be related to in a way that honors the one who gave them, the gift giver. It's a totally different way to walk. And no wonder it takes a lifetime for us to keep learning this, because it's totally different from the way of this world. To walk not out of emptiness or self-protection or fear, but out of the security of God's fullness and abundance in Christ, being freed to love as He has loved us, to love without conditions, without expecting anything back for yourself. But there's an urgency to all this. This is where this passage gets pretty heavy, because that old way of walking has no future. It's a path that is under God's wrath. That's what Paul goes on to say in verse 5. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater. The idols of our heart, the things that we put in God's place, the things that we worship and seek to be seek our fulfillment in. No such person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. So it is pretty intense, isn't it, what Paul says here? It's helpful to hear what he's not saying. He's not saying, if you struggle with sin, you're not part of God's kingdom. Now, that would mean all of us, right? That would mean all of us. Every Christian has a lifelong struggle with immorality and impurity and greed. That's why we heard last week, we have to daily keep putting off the old and putting on the new. It's not something that you ever sort of move past in this age until we get to glory. The Christian person struggles with these things and at times they'll mess up. But the person who is in Christ keeps coming back to God, their Father, in repentance and faith, relying not on their works but on His grace, which is always there for those who ask it. It is always there and always bigger than whatever sin you are facing. So that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about those who persistently reject God, whose hearts are given over to their idols, who live in proud opposition to God and His grace, and those who are walking away from Him, not towards Him. They have no inheritance in God's kingdom. God's wrath comes on them now as they experience the kind of fruit of their sin, but it will come finally on what the Bible calls the last day. There's heaps more we could talk about there, but Paul's big point here is don't be partners with them. Don't have a foot in two roads, you know, one road going this way, one going that way. Don't join that road that has no future. That's not who you are now in Christ. That's not who you are. And who are you? Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live or walk as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. See what he's saying here? This is who you now are because of God's grace in the gospel. Not you might become light, you are light in the Lord. You are united to Jesus, made alive to Him, seated with Him in the heavenly realms, a much loved child of God. That's who you are. And this new identity is totally secure. It's not based on what you do. It's 100% based on Christ and what He has done. But see the call here? The call here is to keep learning this new walk that goes along with this new identity that you've been given through Jesus. There's a gap for all of us between our identity, who we are, and how we're walking. For all of us, there's a gap. And your Heavenly Father knows that. He knows your old walk is still kind of in your muscle memory, your spiritual muscle. And it's still a habit of living that none of us will completely shake off until the new creation. But He's firmly but patiently wanting to teach you His new walk. Sometimes He uses strong warnings, like a good dad teaching his little kids not to walk out on the road. You know, like he does that because He loves us. But part of this new walk that the Lord is teaching us, leading us into, is a kind of openness, a vulnerability, a willingness to have sin exposed by God's light. That's what he goes on to say. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Now, see, there's something quite beautiful happening in these verses. You see how here how having your sin exposed, becoming visible, there is actually here held out to us the hope of an amazing transformation. Do you see that right at the end there? Everything that is illuminated itself becomes a light. Repentance means coming to God with your guard down, letting his light shine deep into you, being exposed not just on the surface, but on the deep idols that are in your heart. So maybe you've, you know, as we've been sort of reading through God's word today, maybe you've been pricked in your conscience by the sword of God's word. And all of us actually should be in that camp, right? What do you do with that? What do you do with that? One option would be just to ignore it, sort of shake it off, leave here, go distract yourself with something and just move on. God doesn't want you to do that. God doesn't want you to do that. But neither does he want you just to wallow in it, to sort of spiral down into more darkness. Your loving Father wants what is good for you. And it's good for you that your darkness be exposed, even when it's hard, even when it's uncomfortable. Because everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. The light of the gospel doesn't just expose, it heals, it forgives, it renews, it picks you up again. It transforms, and the deeper you let it penetrate into your the rooms in your heart that need opening up, need his light to go in there, the deeper you let it, the gospel penetrate, the more its light will shine out from you. I think that's what's being said here. The more that goes into you, the more you will yourself become a light. I think this is one way that we can help each other out, actually. We've heard about the importance of being in relationship with one another, growing deep in relationships. Remember, this letter is written not just to individuals, but to local church, to the local church gathered. We're called to be a community, not just individual people of light, but a community of lights. And it may be that for you, walking in the light might mean going to a Christian friend and sharing your struggle, sort of bringing that to light, asking them to pray for you, asking them to remind you of who you are, who you really are in Christ, of your new identity as his loved child. Paul wraps up this section with this beautiful invitation, and I kind of think this is like him throwing a bucket of good, cold gospel water on us, on our sleepy heads. Verse 14, this is why it said, wake up, sleeper. Yeah. No one's sleeping yet, that's good, I think. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light, is transformed, so that that light that goes down deep into you and exposes and might also heal and transform and lift you up and make you yourself a light. Walk in God's love, which means walking in his light. But there's one more feature of this new walk that Paul wants to focus on. This new walk is a walk of wisdom. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. I wonder what you think when you think of someone who's wise, someone who has a big, long... I think of Gandalf, basically. Someone who's an old man with a big, long beard and a deep voice. You know, that's my picture of a wise person, but that's not what's going on here. Now, for Paul here, wisdom means, what does it mean to be wise? It means to take every opportunity to be involved in God's gospel plan. That's what being wise is. Take every opportunity to be involved in God's gospel plan. Verse 16, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, Paul has already talked in his letter about what God's will is. It's not a mystery. It's also not something, it's not how we sometimes talk about this in certain Christian cultures, about God's will as an individual thing for your life, God's will for you as opposed to his will for me. That's not what's in view here. God's will has already been revealed in the gospel. God's will from chapter 1 is to bring all things under Christ. That will happen fully on the last day, but it's all the amazing thing that we've seen through Ephesians, it's already happening now as Jesus' new people are being built up by his Spirit through his words. That is the Lord's will, this new humanity united in Christ, growing together as one. And to walk in wisdom means to be on the hunt for opportunities to go along with what God is doing in the world, with his will, to line up your plans with his great plan. Not just each of us as individuals, so that's true, but us together as a church family. The wise person, the wise church, makes the most of every opportunity to walk worthy of our calling, to be completely humble and gentle, to be patient, to bear with one another in love, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The wise person makes the most of every opportunity to speak the truth of the gospel in love so that Christ's body might be built up. All these things that we've been looking at through Paul's letter up to this point. And the last thing that Paul wants to say about this, wisdom. Wisdom means doing all of that with a song in your heart. That's what it looks like to walk wisely. Verse 18 on. Paul uses this image of someone who's drunk. He says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. So someone who's drunk, alcohol is the controlling influence in their life, right? It leads to lack of self-control. It leads to actually more sin. And we all know that, right? But Paul says, don't walk in that direction. Instead of being filled with alcohol, be filled with the Spirit. You have a different controlling influence in your life. The Holy Spirit of God, who doesn't lead to lack of self-control, or he doesn't lead to more sin, but who leads you into this new walk, the Holy Spirit who leads you into holiness. And who does that, I love the way that Paul finishes off this section, who does that in you, not with a heavy, somber heart, but with a heart full of joy and thankfulness. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart, from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is, I think, so interesting. And again, something that's maybe easy to skip over. I reckon a lot of Christians read this passage, maybe you're feeling this, with a bit of a heavy heart. Conscious of all the ways that you don't walk in love, or that you're still holding on to that darkness, or all the foolishness that you walk in as well. What is it that could turn that around, that could leave you where Paul wants you to be left? That could leave you with this kind of joy-filled, music-filled heart? Well, it's no surprise, but we need to hear it again and again and again. It is, of course, the wonderful gospel of Jesus, the amazing, wonderful news, not of what we do, but of what God has done in Christ for us and in us and to us. And because of the gospel, we follow God's example, as we looked at last week, we follow his example how? As dearly loved children. As dearly loved children. So we can bring our selfishness and our darkness and our folly to him. You can't. What keeps you is, you know, often we don't bring out that to God because we don't trust him really. But he is your heavenly Father who you can bring it all to. He is the Lord of grace. We can bring it to him remembering that Christ, and the reason you can have confidence to do that is because Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering acceptable to God in your place. It is God by his Spirit who will enable you to keep learning this walk, who will remind you of the gospel and of your new identity in Christ when you fall, so that in his strength you can keep getting up, keep having that gospel water splash you in the face. Keep walking his way, knowing his forgiveness and having your burden lifted so that by his Spirit you can walk this road, not burdened, but singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our God, your word is good, but it cuts deep into our hearts. It exposes us, and we feel that today especially. May we not just turn away from that and ignore it, but not, Lord, help us not also to wallow in shame. Help us to know the wonderful truth of your grace in the gospel and to keep coming back to you again and again and again as our Father. We thank you that in Christ we are your dearly loved children. Help us to learn every day, bit by bit, little by little, to walk more and more in line with who we already are in Jesus. Help us to walk in love towards one another. Help us to walk in your light. And help us, give us this wisdom, Lord, we pray. Help us to walk as wise, making the most of the time, taking every opportunity to be involved in your great gospel plans. Do this within us, we ask, for your glory and through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.